Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's Quintessential Listening, Poetry, with host Dr. Michael Anthony Ingram.
Tonight, we have a very special guest, the multi-talented Pearl Brown. Pearl, are you with me?
I am with you this evening, Michael. I'm with you.
Oh, fantastic. I'm glad that you're here. Let me ask you a question before we begin this journey. Why do you think poetry is important?
I know that poetry is important for me because it gives me and it allows me a way to express myself that's very different from my speaking voice. So I get to play with the meter, the cadence, the words, the shading, and that really allows me to put myself into what I'm trying to say. And I also think that, Michael, that people will listen to a piece of poetry. They'll listen to the message behind that poetry sometimes faster and more readily than they'll listen to a lecture about the same topic.
All right, I understand. What sparked your initial interest in becoming a poet? Or your
initial
love of poetry?
Well, that's an excellent question. You know, I think that I was always writing, even when I was young, when I was about 5 or 6. I learned to read really early, and I fell in love with reading, and I love to read, and I think my love of reading and seeing the words and seeing how the authors use the words to get their ideas across and to set up suspension and to set up love and, you know, and scariness, all of that I fell in love with. And so when I was probably an adolescent, probably about 12, was when I really started expressing myself through poetry. And I wrote about falling in love and then falling out of love, you know, that first heartbreak, your first love experience. And I wrote about some issues of politics that I was thinking about, you know, racism in America, black and white. And then just from that time, I've just continued writing my entire life. So I've been writing for a long time. I think it's my love of books that inspired it.
All right, fantastic. Well, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Pearl Brown. So please start, Pearl.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to read one of my desire poems that I've written, and my desire poems come out of the connection, the intimate connection that you can feel with a partner that has your heart, that meets your soul. So it's about the pleasure of the intimate connection, the explosiveness, the power of it, and just about desire. So this is my first I'm going to read tonight. My desire longs to linger over your form, looking, examining, imagining, projecting. My desire longs to caress your physique, the broadness of your shoulders, the cleft between your pecs, the tautness of your stomach, the sinuous length of your back. What I mean to say is my desire longs to delve into your curly mass, fixate on your eyes, staring boldly, gazing deeply, falling through those still pools of green to meander inside your soul, your innermost places, your darkened chambers, yet to be released feelings. I smile, I stir, I blow on your embers to stoke up your flames, to ignite the forgotten sparks of you. My desire longs to exhale gently down the line of your brow, over the hill of your nose, through the hollow of your cheeks, and rest upon the curve of your upper lip. Yes, to sit upon the mustache curve of your upper right lip corner and gently inhale. My desire longs to gently blow down the circle of your neck and rest in the hollow of your throat and gently inhale and exhale, drawing the fragrance of your skin deeply into my soul. Delightful. My desire longs to meander below the cinch of your waist to find that source of musculature nestled within cradle of soft curly down. Soft curly down covering and warming a manful purpose. My desire longs to fill your cheeks with my breath and blow and blow and blow and blow until we both lift up, freed from the pull of gravity. We float higher, 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 till earth cannot be seen and noises cannot be heard. We twirl, we swirl, we embrace and entangle until my desire engulfs your form. And we exist no more. The end.
Wow, that was beautiful. Beautiful. Please share another.
Okay. So in the spirit of desire, I'm going to keep on going. This is my desire poem number 4. I wrote this one around the same time I wrote the other one. My loins ache and my spirit shakes. My emotions run away. Chaos, loss of control. Can't focus, can't for sure see straight. My loins ache and my spirit shivers and shakes. I am lost. I can't find myself. I'm blind. I can't see the forest or the trees. My loins ache and my spirit quivers and shakes. Enough, I scream. Too much, I pant. I am drowning in the waves of my own desire. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And the winds take away my words and toss them to the furthest parts of the universe. I can't hold on any longer. I'm slipping, slipping under, slipping into. I let go. I give up. I plunge into the roaring fervor. Can you stop the ache? Can you still my spirit shakes? Can I satiate myself with you? Can you love me enough? Can you love me enough? The end.
I'm blown away. Tell me more about that particular piece. I'm blown away. I mean, it was so powerful. It was so powerful. What I'd like you to do is to talk about your cadence, your rhythm, in terms of sharing your work.
My cadence and my rhythm, it comes from inside of me as I feel the words, as I say as I tell the story. I think about telling a story or bringing people along on an adventure, on a journey into their sexual desire, right? We don't talk about that a lot. We don't talk about just the purity of that sexual desire that occurs. And so I just, the cadence is just something that comes from the rhythm of the words and what I'm feeling inside that I want to get outside.
All right. Well, let's take a brief break and we'll be right back.
All righty.
everyone. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram, and again, I'd like to welcome you to Quintessential Listening Poetry. I'm here with Pearl Brown. If you'd like to call in and speak with Pearl, the call-in number is 646-787-1631. And actually, we've got someone on the line, Pearl. Let's bring this person
okay.
in, all right?
Okay.
All right. Area code 301. The first three numbers are 856. You're on the air. Area code 301, 856. Well, maybe they're here just listening. So what we'll do is continue this journey. Pearl, let me ask you a question.
Sure, sure.
They say that to see the world with complete honesty and transparency, one should look to comedians, artists, and poets. What do you think naturally emerges from your work? What emerges from you?
I think what emerges from me is the breadth of my experience and the depths of the challenges that I've had to, you know, work through and come through. I think that there's an authenticity in my work and what I'm trying to say that people can relate to, that women can understand, that men can understand. And it's that authenticity that here it is, I'm going to lay it out there for you, and then you have to deal with how it makes you feel. That's what I want to come through. And just the idea that you can go through things, you can go through challenges, but and they can grow you up. They can teach you how to be you.
Again, beautifully stated. We have another caller. Let's bring this person in.
Okay.
Area code 703. The first three numbers are 400. You're on the air.
Hi. My name is Debbie. I'm listening to Pearl read her poems, and I wonder, does she read them to menfolk, and how do they react to her desires?
Beautiful question.
Yeah. Hi, Debbie. That's a great question. You know, I have yet to read them to a special guy, or just to a room of men. So the answer to your question is not yet, but maybe as I go on, I might consider having men as a specific type of audience to read to. To read the desire poems to.
Mm.
So I don't know how they react unless they call in and they say their reactions.
Well, I can tell you how I react. They are
okay.
Fantastic.
Okay.
As a man representing the male public tonight, I think that they are lyrical, they're important, they speak to the experience of us being social creatures. I think it's just fantastic.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're more than welcome.
Okay.
Well, let's continue, Pearl. Let's continue with another piece of your work.
Okay, I'm going to switch gears, and I'm going to read some of my poems that have come out of the experience of being a mother and raising my sons. I will read the first one.
How many sons do you have? Children.
I have five sons. I have five sons. Don't ask me their ages, okay?
All right, I will not.
But they span from 30 all the way down to 22. And it's been a wonderful journey to watch them grow into their manhood and to define who they are and to go after those things that are important to them. So, yeah, I'm going to read what's best first. You know, when you're raising children, when you're raising any children, I would imagine, but sons particularly perhaps, there's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of argument. There's a lot of, you know, you're going to do what I say, and there's always something to come back. So this poem and the next poem have come out of that sense of arguing with my children and reflecting on it afterwards. So this one is called What's Best. We have fought again. Voices lifted, voices rising, shouts bounce back and forth like waves crashing against a granite rock face. Hands dance, body energies merge as physical distance decreases. Face to face, we exchange. Logic melts in the heat of emotions. Objectivity is lost in a personal vendetta which must be won at all costs. My threats widely burst forth from my mouth. His pride inflates, deflecting the sting of my threats. Eyes locked, cold, mean, distant. I look into those dark pits and suddenly I'm 17, glaring back at my father who shouts, lampoons the air. Slowly I realize the futility of my anger. Calming back to reality, I realize that the words I so desperately want to communicate have yet to be uttered. My son, I want the best for you as you live your life. The end.
A mother to her son.
Yes.
Please share another.
Okay, this one is in the same vein as arguing. We did a lot of that. Communication. The house reflects silent as it gratefully struggles back into its frame. I have no voice left. He has no argument left. I have no more fury. He has no more defiance. I look at him. He looks past me. Eye contact is too intimate. Silence is too loud. Apologize, bellows my soul. Never, answers my pride. You know you did not mean what you said, reprimands my soul. Rough and raw, that's all the boy understands, quips my pride. You've won the battle, but lost the war, warns my soul. I did no such thing, denies my pride. You have taken away his dignity and left him bereft, cajoles my soul. I say into the silence, breathe, says my soul. I'm sorry for the way I spoke, I say into his eyes. His defensive posture relaxes. His clenched fist opens. The hurt drains from his eyes. The cuts and scars from my sharp words begin to heal, their jagged edges melting together, and together we ease into the uncertain truth of diplomacy as we prepare to navigate through the upcoming mind field called communication. The end.
You know, all poets have several words that come up over and over again, words or sentences that they just can't help but use in their work. What are three of your absolute favorite words?
My favorite works or words?
Words.
Words. Anger. Strength.
Mm-hmm.
And pleasure.
All right. Why those three?
Well, I think for me, as I was growing up with my sons, and I was a single mom raising them, there was, you know, your children move into the teenage years, and so as they are growing up and processing and learning how to tell right from wrong in their own minds, a lot of times that goes into conflict with what you want them to do. You know, teenagers, especially boys, are willing to take more risks. and more willing to do things to learn. So there was a lot of anger. There was a lot of arguing. There was a lot of, I was in a state of constant, you know, the battle-weary warrior, always on the alert, always ready to, all right, it's time to throw down. I'm going to throw down. Y'all better get ready.
Right.
You know, so that's where the anger, that's why I say anger. But I like how I always end the poems with a message of hope, you know, that's not felt during the angry process, but, you know, days and days later. I say strength because of my son's effect on my life and my effect on their life, I have gotten strength. I have been strengthened and changed in ways that I can't even begin to voice or talk about. But I would not be the woman that I am right now today if it hadn't been for my son. So that's why I say strength. You know, when you have kids, you got to keep going. You got to find a way. And you keep going. And pleasure, well, you know, pleasure is just fun. It's just joyful. It's just, you know, enjoyable. I mean, after a long, hard day of working, you come home, you shower, you jump in bed with your honey, and it's on. So
it's
pleasure,
on.
You know?
I do know. What I'd like you to do is to name three of your favorite historical poets. And what about their work are you drawn to? And what about their work inspires you today?
Okay. I can name probably one poet.
Yes.
And that is Maya Angelou. Her work and some of her poems, as I read through them and just felt the depth of her words, the sincerity and the cadence of how she put together her verses and what she was trying to say. And there's always truth in her work. And I respect that. And I like to reflect a piece of truth in my work. So anything she puts pen and pencil to, I enjoy. But your question is gonna challenge me to go and read some other poets and poetesses and see what's out there, because I know there's a whole new world out there.
Yes, yes, true. We have another caller, Pearl, and I'd like to bring
this
person in. All right.
Okay.
Area code 202-438. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yes.
Okay.
And your
so
name is?
My name is Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Did I hear a scream?
Hi,
Did I
try to be cool. Okay.
That's the first time in the history of this show that we've had a scream. So I'm not sure what to make of that, but we'll continue.
Okay.
All right. So here's my question for Pearl. So my question is, it takes a lot of courage to share these intimate feelings of anger and pleasure and get on the stage and get on the radio, and these are really intimate. And I guess I have two questions. One is, how did she find that courage, and what advice would she give other women, other people who have, you know, feelings and words they want to put out there in the world? What advice would she give them to have the courage to share that so intimately and profoundly, like she has done?
Okay, let me see. I'll start from with the second question, the advice. I think that I love the writing. I love the poetry. I love what I do through my poems. So that energizes me, and that gives me the courage to go on stage, the courage to share my work. And the advice that I would give anyone would be, if it gives you passion, if you love doing it, then find a way to share it. Because what you have to say, what you have to reflect about yourself, the world needs to hear. Because the love that you have for it drives you forward, and it helps you to overcome being shy and being scared. And then I think I found the courage when I participated in exercise led by a wonderful woman, and I had to show up in my essence. I had to show up as who I wanted to move forward into being. And that was the first time that I pulled my poems out, I dusted them off, and I read them. And that's when I realized, wow, I have something to say, and the way that I say it impacts and it moves people. And that's when I realized that, oh, wow, this is something that I could do. So, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so beautiful. It's so inspiring. So inspiring.
Thank you so much, Karen.
Thank you, caller.
And you are part of the process.
Love you.
Love you, too. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's take a brief break, Pearl, and we'll be right back.
Okay. Sounds good.
Michael Anthony Ingram. I'm here with Pearl Brown.
Hi.
I'm excited to be here with Pearl Brown. Pearl, please share another of your works.
Okay. This work is called Divorce, and this is when my husband and I decided to divorce. We had been married for 11 years, and we decided to get a divorce, and our sons were still quite young. And so this is the challenge, the situation that this poem was written from. So it's called Divorce. How do you tell the kids that love is not forever, when enduring love is entwined through the very fiber of nature? How do you tell the kids that your love for them will never cease, when they have seen the love you have for their father decrease? How do you explain that family, marriage is a wonderful, wonderful reality, when their reality of a unional world is fractured cleanly, neatly, with finality? Marriage is forever, for better or worse, commitment, honor, fidelity. How do you tell the kids that mommy and daddy will still love them and be involved in all aspects of their life, when involvement is two households interfacing at separate moments in their history? How do you answer, "Why, mommy?" in the conviction of an intelligent adult voice, when uncertainty travels down the length of your voice and mockery pokes at your words? How do you explain to the kids that daddy no longer lives here, but you'll see him on the weekends, as if seeing him on the weekends is equivalent to seeing him every day? How do you tell the kids that the quality of their life won't change, for dad has diminished? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's men and all the king's horses couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. What the hell? The end.
when I met you and I heard you, I knew that you were a special talent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad that I had an opportunity to hear you again tonight. So, I mean, your work is extremely powerful. We've got another caller. We've got another caller. I want to bring this person in.
Thank you.
Quite popular tonight, Pearl. All right. Let's see. There's so many people calling. All right. Area code 202-390. You're on the air.
Hi there. This is Tony. Hello, Pearl. Hello, Michael.
Hi.
Hello.
Tony.
Hi. I'm loving your work, Pearl. I feel so honored to be able to hear it this evening. And you're welcome. I have a question for you. And that is it's clear where a lot of your inspiration comes from, but I'm wondering about your process. And, you know, when you find time to write, what state of mind you are finding yourself into to get the words from your spirit through your soul into your head and onto paper?
All right.
How do you
do it? That's a great question, very complex. I'll do my best to answer it, though. these poems, interestingly enough, were written at least a good 10 or maybe 12 years ago. So when I wrote them, I can't quite remember. I think I probably stayed up late, you know, when all the kids went to bed and wrote, or either I got up early in the morning before everybody got up and wrote. And so it was a process of writing poems over a couple-year period. Some of my poems were 1993, 1998, 2004, 2006. And once I started writing, I just continued to write because I enjoyed it. And so that was my process. You know, I would get an idea in my head, and I would let it knock around my head for about 2 weeks. And then I would go ahead and put it on the paper. And I just write out whatever came to my mind, and I wouldn't worry about spelling or grammar or anything like that. And then I would let that sit for about a week or two. Then I come back, correct the spelling, correct the grammar, and then I would start to move into adjusting the flow, adjusting the stanza of the words. So the poem reflects what I was really trying to say. And even with these poems, as I'm reading them today, last night I looked at them and I'm like, ooh, that doesn't flow well and that doesn't sound right. And Lord, that word's misspelled and that idea ain't right. So I edited all the poems for like the third time. But this is with the eye of a much older, much more mature woman. Does that answer it?
It really does, and that's really quite inspirational, and I'm just grateful that you went through that process and you shared sharing your wonderful work with the rest of us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Colin.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Right.
You're welcome.
Right.
Great show. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Pearl, do you have another one that you can share?
Okay, yes, I do. I have another one that I can share. This is the very first one that I read. I mentioned before when I was on the phone with Karen, there was an Essence Night, and she runs a wonderful women's group, and I participate in that group. And so the Essence Night, I brought all my poems with me, and Karen challenged me to read a poem in the voice of a poet. And this is the one that I chose. So it's called An Ode to My Boys. And, of course, I dedicate this to my sons, who I hope are listening. Okay, all right. Today is Mother's Day. I'd like to acknowledge five of the most intelligent, witty children the world has been blessed with. Asa, Tyler, Bristol, Bryce, and Fane. I have fussed over, cussed out, fought with, prayed for, cried with, and broke my voice imploring you. I have been worried, anxious, and embarrassed. I have been repetitive, constant, consistent. I've been shocked. I've been amazed, angry, tough, tireless, tired, and patient. I have survived fevers, vomit, diarrhea, regurgitated breast milk, dirty diapers, soggy pull-ups, pee facials, temper tantrums, defiance, obedience, undying devotion, confusion, pimples, icky girlfriends, and weed. I have witnessed teachers miseducate you. I have seen puzzling questions force you to search for truth. I have seen racism misdefine you. I have seen injustice pluck your spirit. I have seen poverty temper your desires. I have seen divorce press your determination to find true love. I have seen fleeing consequences. I've seen the circumstances that push the boundaries of your dreams. I have seen fear throw you out the box. Through it all, I have seen my boys, my sons, become men. The end.
You know, Pearl, I've been remiss. This month is Women's History Month, and we've yet to talk about it. What do you think it means to be a woman poet?
That's a great question, Michael, and my mind is shooting off in five different ways.
All right, no problem.
To be a woman poet, a female poet, is, of course, to give a female's perspective of the world, of issues that women go through, that women traverse through, that perhaps men are unaware of. To be a woman, a poet, is, I believe, to give strength and validation to the many different stories that women have experienced and that they need to tell, that they need to make the world aware of. But I also think that, you know, in this country, we pigeonhole people. You're a black poet, right? You're a black woman poet. You're a black male poet. No, I'm a black woman, transgendered poet. Like, and after a while, you forget, I'm just a human. I'm just a human spitting some words on the mic. And I think that is the essence of creation and creative abilities. That's
Thank
it.
You. All right. We have another caller, and I'm going to bring this person on. All right.
Okay.
Area code 703-550. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Susie.
Hello, Susie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, Pearl, I really loved your first sensual poem, and I love all of your poems. Tell me, where will you go from here now that you're in the flow of writing again? Will you set your sights on maybe writing a book or maybe a collection of poems?
Well, I love that question, Susie. I love it. So my sights are set on exactly what you said, getting my poems into volumes. And volumes, according to poems into volumes, have been published. The next thing, or concurrently with that, is I want to set my my poems to music, because I like music, I like beats, I like moving, and I think that would give my poems a richness and a relatability that I would enjoy doing.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I look forward to that. I can't wait to see them.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Keep writing, Pearl.
All right, I will. I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, Pearl, do you have another piece for us?
I do have another piece. Let me see. So Okay, so I just did an ode to my boys for Mother's Day. So I'm going to do one that I wrote for Father's Day. So it's an ode to my boys, too. And this is the first time I've read it. So it's Father's Day. I birth, I fold, I nurture, I hold, I teach, I scold, I shape, I mold. I envision, I behold, I foretold. Now, can you teach them to be strong? Can you teach them to be resilient? Can you teach them to have purpose and be tender? Can you teach them to suffer injustice? Can you teach them how to bear under indignities? Can you teach them to be flexible? Can you teach them to stand upright amid swirling chaos? Can you teach them to love with commitment? Can you teach them to value loyalty? Can you infuse them with vision? Can you listen with wise counsel? Can you discipline with firm love? Can you feed their appetite for love? Can you love them as toddlers and then guide them into their manhood? Can you adore our sons into the next generations of warriors? Can you be their father? The end.
Some poets are also active in other creative areas. What are some of your favorite non-poetry or literature activities?
Well, you know, one of them is expressed through my desire poems, but we'll leave that alone. So that's one. And then the other one is I like to dance. I like to move to music. So there's been times when I have choreographed a piece and I've performed it at church, or I might choreograph a piece and just enjoy it in my house. So I like that. I like that's very creative for me. And I think that probably off the top of my head does it.
All right. All right. Well, let's take another break and we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
Yes. I'm Michael Anthony Ingram. I'm here with Pearl Brown. This is Quintessential Listening Poetry. The call-in number is 646-787-1631. Pearl, one more question for you.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Okay. We've talked about the possibility, and it's more than just a possibility, of you sharing your work in a book or a volume. When you're published and do book signings, anywhere you want, what cities or countries would you definitely want on your book tour?
Wow.
The big picture.
The huge picture. Okay,
yes.
Mike, I'm going to step into it with you. I'm going to step into it with
you. All right. Thank you.
Wow.
Where would you want to go? Who would you want to hear it and where?
I'm thinking. I would like to start in the United States and go up and down the eastern seaboard, go to California, go to some of the Midwestern states, but then I'd like to move and go to some of the countries in Africa, some of the countries in the Caribbean. You know, wherever there, you know what? Okay, let me reframe this. I think that my work could go anywhere in the world, and I would go anywhere in the world because the themes of my work are global. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I would go, I'd want to go every and anywhere. I would definitely want to go to Africa. That would probably be a highlight. Costa Rica would be another highlight. I'd love for my work to be translated into different languages. Did that answer the question?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. I'd follow you wherever because I think you're fantastic.
Thank you.
I'd follow you wherever. I love your voice. Well, let me ask this question. What is the relationship between your speaking voice and your written voice?
I think that I'm sorry?
I said, or is there a relationship?
I think that my writer's voice is much stronger and much more powerful in some ways than my speaking voice.
Really?
As a poet. Yeah, as a poet, because when I speak, you know, in my normal tone of voice, have my normal conversations, I don't think I'm as lyrical and as prosaic as I am in my poems. And I think that my poems allow me to have a stronger, larger impact than my speaking voice. And I'm just talking about my speaking voice as I just go to and from doing the things I do every day.
Yes. Yes.
That's where I feel my power. It comes out. It's through my poetry.
You know, your poems are detailed in terms of their titles. What do you think? What role should play in titling a poem? What role should a title play for a poem?
I think the title in a poem helps the reader understand just a little bit more, focuses the reader's attention or focuses the listener's attention. So this is going to be a poem about desire. Okay, I have an idea of that. Or this is going to be a poem about arguments between mothers and sons. Okay, I can relate to that. So I think the titles of the poems are very, very important. The titles also help to focus me on what I want to talk about in that specific piece. So, you know, I don't blur any lines or get confused.
Well, what is the title of your next poem?
What's the title of the next one? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I'm looking. I'm trying to find. Oh, you know what? I think I'm going to do a poem. I'll end the show with another desire poem.
All right.
But I'm
now
going to do a poem.
We've got about 10 minutes, Pearl. We've got about 10 minutes, so you're not going anywhere. So we're going to need more than one. So it's not over yet.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm like hurt. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll read hurt. You are gone from me. I've been here before, this place of broken expectations that litter the landscape like sharp shards of glass that cut my heart into fine, precise topical cuts. This place of no communication where unfinished questions evoke insincere answers. Long, lengthy pauses of what was not said eke out an existence amid the parched, cracked dirt. This place of mixed messages that dart back and forth among the swaying dandelions and unkept grasses. Where is understanding? Where is consideration? Where is the love? I'm dancing to the music of condemnation, bouncing and ricocheting off the walls of my soul. My pain flows from my eyes. Hot currents curse down my cheeks. My rage constricts my heart, which screams out in anguish. I rip my clothes. I hurl stones at the sky until I cannot feel. I cannot feel. I cannot feel you, who were once part of my womb. I cannot feel. I cannot feel, and with no feelings, you are obliterated, gone, never to destroy me again. The end.
Beautiful. Please share another.
Okay, this is called Fatigue. And it should resonate with all working parents. Today I cried, I don't want to pay another bill. I don't want to work for a living. I don't want to make decisions. I don't want to raise these children. I don't want to cook another meal. I don't want to clean another toilet. And I damn sure don't want to wash the dirt out of the clothes. Tired, worn out, worn thin, threadbare, lackluster, drained, completely exhausted. I want to lie on warm, sun-kissed sands and experience the waves caressing my ankles and tickling my toes. I want to be wrapped in the comforting folds of a thick plush blanket, enjoying the pleasure of massages by millennial of soft, furry, hairy hairs against my skin. I want to be reposed by a fire on a snowy, freezy night and be lightly toasted as I slip into a deep slumber, caressed by the waves of heat enveloping my naked frame. Then I want to open my eyes and see the expanse of my life stretching out before me, and raise strong, chiseled arms to embrace, to welcome, to beckon forth my living. The end.
What do you think are, and we're closing out here. I know you're tired. You've been great. You've been great. I mean, I honestly, I don't know what to say. I'm so enthused that you're a part of this program tonight, helping us celebrate Women History Month. What do you think are some of the most prevalent ingredients that go into a concoction we call a poem? What goes into it? How do you bake a poem?
What goes in to the concoction of a poem?
Yes.
Heart.
How do you bake one?
Sweat. Go ahead.
I said, how do you bake a poem?
How do you bake a poem? I'm going to write a poem about that just for you.
Okay.
Heart, soul, pain, heartache, joy, a sense of words and rhythm and shading of words and playing with the semantics of words and and boldness. I think you've got to be bold to put down your thoughts on paper and then read them to people, to an audience, because sometimes you're the only one that likes it, and that's okay.
Yes, I agree
yeah.
with that. All right. Well, Pearl, I'm going to let you go. I don't want to.
All right. I think, again,
this evening has been fantastic. I could continue asking you questions, but I don't think that's important right now. I think it's an opportunity for us to revel in your work, to revel in the words that you share throughout the course of the evening. One last thing, though, and I think one of the callers mentioned this. Where do you go from here as a poet?
As a poet, from here I go on to create new poems, maybe exploring different subject matters, different themes, looking at maybe the adult relationship that mothers and sons have, or even looking at some of the injustices that we have in our world. So I want to keep writing and expand the subject matter of what I write about. And I want my poems to be set to music, so I have that option also.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being with me tonight and for being with the listening audience. I'm sure everyone is just so impressed by your talent and the beauty of the way that you shape words. So, again, thank you, Pearl, for being with me tonight on Quintessential Listening Poetry.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Michael. I had a wonderful time. Thank you so much.
Fantastic. Well, to the listening audience, thank you very, very much, and tune in next week where we have another great poet. Have a good evening.